And if we can understand that, it will change your prayer life. Because many people pray to God as if he's a wicked God. Then some pray to him as if he's a neutral God that they are trying to convince about how important it is for them to be blessed. But when you understand that this God is too good, that he actually loves you more than you can ever even love yourself. When you understand that the Bible said he has what he calls steadfast love. That means, you see, God's love doesn't fluctuate. He is always passionate. He is always interested. He is always committed. Always. When you understand that, that changes your whole prayer life. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? And I'm trusting God that this month, your prayer life, your intimacy, your flow with God will go to a whole new level in the name of Jesus. If you receive it, shout a louder amen, somebody. Glory to God. Let's jam our hands together for the Most High. Hallelujah. You can take your seat this morning. Let me ask your neighbor, what's wrong with your prayer? What's wrong with your prayer? Nigerians are being currently discipled away from the original intent and design of prayer. It is so sad to actually see. People are being trained to see God as a shrine. You know, a shrine, nobody has a relationship with a shrine. You only go there to tell the shrine your problem. How many of you have been to... Okay, I don't say how many have been to shrine, but... That would just be weird. So don't raise your hand. Don't raise your hand. But some of you here have been to the shrine. Either your parents took you or somebody took you. In fact, when I was in secondary school, we actually went to a native doctor. When I was... I was a bad boy. In secondary school, I did every bad thing you can think about, I did. So I don't want to go into details and list them, but every bad thing you can think about, I did them. So we went to steal something, and it's amazing how thieves like integrity. School, we're in boarding school, we went out of school to one of our friends' house, stole the thing, brought it to school, hid it somewhere in school. The plan was to sell it. This was in secondary school, and I was not born again. So the pastor looked at me like, no, I was not born again then. So we wanted to sell it. Then some days after, some people now stole it in the school. And we were suspecting ourselves that one of three of us, because we are the ones that know where we hid it, might know about it, you know. So since nobody gave, we now said, let's go to Herbalist. Let Herbalist tell us. That's when I knew that this Herbalist, most of them are fake. Because when we got there, the guy said, don't tell me what you came for. Take some money, take whatever carry, talk to the money, whisper to it, then the gods will tell me. You want to hear the remaining story? Go and serve your Jesus. The point is that in a shrine, you don't have a... Because we never went back there after we had that interaction. You know, the guy didn't tell us who took it. Of course, he doesn't know who took it. He just said, it's one of you. Of course, we know it's one of us. That's why we came here. But I'll finish that gist. How many pending gists I'll give people? Just keep coming to church. The point is that nobody has a relationship with a shrine. What you have with a shrine is that when you have a problem, you approach the shrine. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? Nobody has a relationship with a shrine. And that is what Nigerian Christians have now been discipled to do and to think that God is, that is somebody we approach with our problems. When the average Nigerian Christian hears prayer, he thinks it's a line where you complain. He thinks the customer complain line. This is what people think prayer is. It's such a shame. And like I said last week, I don't know if I said it here, but I said last week, you know, the body of Christ have gone through different bad discipline that takes us years to unlearn. Different ones. It takes us years, but it's not about truth. It's that truth moves slowly. Lies and fakeness moves very fast. Catches on quickly. Truth moves slowly, but gradually, eh? You can't fight truth. Are you here, somebody? Like I said, there are many things that the body of Christ was discipled on that were wrong. And I'm not even attacking the people that started this movement. Some of them were even sincere, in all fairness. And it doesn't mean that everything about these people are bad. No. Some of them are genuine mistake, genuine misunderstanding, genuine misrepresentation. I gave the example of, for instance, there was a time when it was the reigning thing for Christians not to watch TV. If you're watching TV, you're not a good Christian. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? So that was what was being pushed. You can't watch TV. While we were doing that, the unbelievers took over TV. Now we are paying them to come on TV. Millions and millions and millions. Because we left TV. We thought TV was satanic. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? Same thing happened with the internet. Pornography had taken over before we started church websites. Porn sites have gone everywhere for free. So there are many times like that. Oh, we still struggled with women should not wear trousers. Many years. Churches were the last place that used bench in Nigeria. Everybody had just thrown away benches, started using plastic chairs. Churches used bench. Because bench is the scriptural sitting position. I'm just trying to show you that there's a history of these things that flow from time to time. There was a time they started, every cockroach flying in the night is a demon. Some of you, you're even still in that realm. Every war gecko. My enemy. Every witch, every bat fly. You say, a bat is flying in the night. Where, please. Everywhere in the world, when do bats fly? They can't see during the day. They can't see a cat. I saw a cat in the night. Cats see better at night, and the food they are looking for, it also moves at night. But then, the body of Christ was discipled to believe that every cat, every bat, as long as it ends with A-T, cat, bat, rat, they are Satan. If a full witch, that's a human being, transform into a cat, a human being that can fight, didn't fight me as a human being, turn to cat, that can use stick and now beat. Oh, there was time the body of Christ entered fall and die. You know fall and die? Kill all your enemies. You see, those are not biblical prayers, because we see in the Bible that Jesus himself said, pray for your enemies and not pray for them to die. He said, bless those that cost you. It's there. You see, the lie first went viral, but truth will come gradually. After you have tried to kill your enemy by prayer many times, you find that he's not dying. He's even winning primaries. Why? I didn't call anybody's name. Oh. I'm joking. Wait first now. You people like problem too much. The point I'm trying to say is that, you know, you can't kill enemies that way. It's not... It's No, I'm not going to go there. I'm still young and I have a future. I'm still in Lagos State. So you can't affect change like that. You can't affect change like that. Hope you know that there was so you can't kill your enemies and say, well, they fall and die. It's not a biblical prayer. It's not a Christian prayer. It doesn't mean that no times that God brings judgment on the enemy. But you see, it's not up to you just going about killing anybody that offend you. Anybody you perceive as an enemy. Sometimes God even needs your enemy to prosper. The reason why they're your enemies, they are poverty. So because I pray for them. If you pray for them, you have less enemy. If you try to kill them, I won't kill them. Because I created them. You see, you have investment in them. God has investment in them. And you were once somebody's enemy. If God answered that prayer, you won't be here today born again, killing your people. You'll be dead. So God doesn't operate like that. See, so that's not a biblical prayer, but it rained. The prayer rained. Then that was everybody's prayer. Oh, my enemy. You see, so they love all those unscriptural things. Unscriptural things. Rained and rained and rained and rained. We're currently dealing with a new one now, where people approach God as a shrine. Just do it. Just do it. and you need to know, the danger of those things is that it keeps making you feel inferior. You don't understand. God is the most amazing being ever. There's nobody that will elevate you like that to his level. Who will employ you? Which MD will employ you and say, from now, you are equal with me? God is the only one that brings us from nothing to become family. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? Many people don't understand. You are joint heirs with Christ. Do you understand what that means? You are joint heirs with Christ. Who does that? Nobody does that. Nobody just meets you on the road, adopts you, and says, "Right, you are joint heir with my son." Imagine the richest man in the world. Who is the richest man in the world now? Is it Bezos? Elon Musk? Whatever. So imagine Elon Musk just adopts you now. And said, "Now you are joint heirs with his son. You are the same with his son." Who does that? That's what God did for us. But yet we are being discipled to come and approach God like he's somebody we are convincing. Oh, when I see the thing many people call prayer, it's so shameful, it's so sad. You don't understand. You can't even love you more than God loves you. He's passionately in love with you. And the reason why we don't get results in prayer is that we don't pray right. He said in the book of James, he said, "You ask and you don't receive because you ask amiss." It's possible to pray wrongly. See, it's not hard. Just check your life. If you don't like the results you are seeing, it's a sign that you're probably not praying correctly. Prayer is one of the most powerful things God gave us. But unfortunately, we're not getting results in prayer because we are not praying correctly. That's why I say, what's wrong with your prayer? You're not getting results in prayer because you're not praying correctly. There is a right way to pray. There is a right way to what? Pray. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18. Ephesians 6:18. It says, praying always with what? Is it showing on your screen yet? Let's go now. Praying always with what? Did you get that? Praying always with what? One more time. Praying always with what? All prayer. Praying with all prayer. Saying all prayer means there are different kinds of what? Prayer. You say use all. You don't use all if there's only one. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? You don't use all if there's only one. He said, pray with all prayer. Pray with what? All prayer. For you to be an effective Christian, you must use all prayer, not just one kind of prayer. You have to use all prayer. You have to use all prayer. To use all prayer, you have to know all prayer. You can't use prayer you don't know. To use all prayer, you have to know all prayer. And when you know all prayer, you also have to know the rules for all prayer. All prayer doesn't have the same rules. There are rules or guidelines to anything. It's like saying sports is sports. So you can use these rules for basketball to play football, soccer. Is that possible? They will give you a red card. In football, that's why it's called football. If you carry the ball with your hand and run. You understand? I don't know if everybody here knows football. In football, soccer, you pick the ball with your hand because you just finished watching rugby. And you saw that one man carry the ball with his hand and run. And people were chasing him and he was dodging them and crossed the line. And they counted it as points. They now brought you to football field. You now did the same thing, carry the ball and run and you're dodging referee. They will just collect your address. They will mail your red card to you, say, as you're running, like that, just be running to your house. They will give you red billboard, red. It's a red card. So you can't say sports is sports. You can't say ball is ball.
That is all ball. It's basketball, it's football, so it's ball. Ball is ball. No, there are rules that govern all prayer. There are rules. Give me the Amplified Classic of this verse scripture. Amplified, that's AMPC. It said, pray at what? All times. On what? Every occasion. When? Every season. How? In the spirit. With what? All manner. You must use all manner of prayer and entreaty to the end. Keep alert and watch with strong purpose and perseverance, interceding in the behalf of all the saints, God's consecrated people. All prayer. Say all manner. Come on, say with me, all manner. All manner of prayer. I'll run through a quick list of different kinds of prayer. This is why many people don't get results. This is one of the things that's wrong with many people's prayer, is that they just mix up prayer. They just mix up any rules of prayer they like. They play football to a point when they're tired, they carry the ball with hand and run, you know. They throw the ball to their friend. They just use any rules. In basketball, when you're tired, you can go and sit down, and when you are rested a bit, you come back in. In football, if you go out, you are gone out. You can't come back if they've substituted you with somebody else. You see, looks alike, but they're not the same. In basketball, 1 point can be counted as two. One goal, one scoring can be counted as 2 points. If it's outside the box, it can be counted as 3 points. In football, if you like, score from outside the stadium. It's one goal. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? You can't say ball is ball. They have different rules, guys. And you must use all. They say use what? All manner. You must use all. If you want to get better results, you have to use all. Let me run through a few kinds of prayer. Number one is prayer of intercession. Pastor Gideon talked about this a bit last Sunday. Prayer of intercession. The prayer of intercession is when you pray for somebody else or for something else other than yourself, other than your needs. Every Christian has to pray prayer of intercession. Some people have never prayed for somebody else in their whole life. It must be their father, their mother, their children. Never have they ever prayed for somebody else. But see what that scripture said. It said, pray for all the saints. How do you even come to church today? You didn't pray for church. You didn't pray for service. When you pray for service, he entitles you to be among those that will be blessed today in service. You should pray for service before you come. You see, but Nigerian Christians are trained to come so that I will pray for them. You see, nothing more annoying. Sometimes, even after, and there's nothing wrong with me praying for you. That's okay. But that you shouldn't come from that inferiority position. Because there's nothing wrong with your prayer. Nothing wrong with you praying. Same line. They didn't give me a special line when I came out again that you're a pastor. Take this line. It's direct to God. The rest, they call customer care. And they'll keep them waiting. You know, those customer care, they'll keep you waiting. Die one, if you have requests. Die two, if you're in a hurry. Die three, if it's Thanksgiving. Die four, if you have a testimony. Die five, if you want to talk to a customer, whatever representative. They do not play music. When you now press the one. Say, okay, you want to talk to a customer? You say, hold on, while we find our one. This was some boutique. That pastors have a direct line that they reach God direct. But we, the common masses, that's what I'm saying. The prayer they're teaching you is making you feel less than who you really are. I told them on the island last Sunday, when Jesus, because next Sunday I'm going to talk about the prayer of decrees. When Jesus caused the fig tree and the fig tree died, Peter was stripped the next day. Peter said, what? This is the coolest, man. Jesus, you are the coolest. As in, you caused this fig tree yesterday, and by today it has withered away. And you know what Jesus would have said? He said, bring all your cursing requests to me. I will help you curse everything. Tomorrow morning, I curse all your problems for you. Is that what Jesus, if a Nigerian pastor, that's what will happen. They'll open a cursing ministry to help people curse their. You know what Jesus told the guy? He said, have faith in God. He said, there's nothing wrong with your prayer. Ay. He said, there's nothing wrong with your prayer. I'm not special. That's Jesus Christ. I'm telling you, there's nothing like Jesus. You see, he could have oppressed us. He could have said, you guys are small boys. You want to cause victory. Do you know how many years it took me to reach here? Just want to be waking up and be causing victory. You think it's easy? Go and be cause, let me see now. You can't do it. I'm the only official, authorized, anointed causer of victories. Is that not what the Nigerian pastor would do? But Jesus told him, have faith in God. Just told him, if you, he said, verily, verily, I say, if you say to the mountain, be removed, say it to be removed. He said, I'm not special. He said, you can even, a tree and a mountain, which one is more difficult to move? So, God was tripping for a fig tree. Jesus said, you can even move mountain. You are talking about tree. You can move mountain. Go and do it. If you have, look at Jesus, he always said, go. In Nigeria, we always say, come. I'm the only one. Come, everybody, gather for me. Jesus always said, go into the world. Go and heal the sick. He would say, you go and do it. He said, greater works than this you can do. Jesus always saying, go. You have what I have. Nigeria will say, come, only me have this thing. All of you, gather down to me. This is why we can't take over politics. So. This is why we can't take over. The real guys that know the game are out there playing the game. We are praying. There are some things prayer will never do, sir. To win election, you have to run. You can't pray, and they'll come and look for you. You can't pray, and they'll come and say, hey, Emeka, the Lord said you are the next governor. No, you will join party. You will run. You will learn the game. You will pay your dues. That's how we take over, not prayer. You pray to make sure the process is going well. But you see, the mentoring we're even giving priests in church, that they can't even pray. They have to come to me. So how can he go and survive? How can he go and deal with the real guys that are ready to kill? He can't survive. He can't survive. He has a chicken mentality that until I go to somebody to pray, nothing annoys me more than after I pray for people in church like this. After service, somebody will come and meet me. Put your hand. Speak on that prayer. So the one I just said now from the altar is not enough. What's wrong with your prayer? You just told the guy, have faith in God. Have faith in God. You too can speak to the... He said, verily. Jesus only used verily when he knew Nigerian Christians would not believe it. That's the truth. Verily means I swear. That's what verily means. So he doesn't use it all the time. He only used it when he was about to say things that people would find hard to believe. Look at what he said. And Jesus answering said unto them, have faith in God. Next verse. He said, for what? For verily I say unto you. He only used verily when he's trying to say, look, get it. Can't you get it? Say, verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall what? Did they say whosoever pastor? Did they say whosoever prophet? Did they say whosoever anointed man of God? They say what? Whosoever. That's you. Say, but pastor, you don't know me. I'm not such a strong. Did they say whosoever strong Christian? Did they say whosoever prayer warrior? Did they say whosoever that's been born again for a long time? You joking? Okay. Is that what he said there? Whosoever means what? Whosoever. But no, Nigerian Christians don't want that. Laziness is our pattern. Somebody has to do it for me. I'm not qualified. I'm not good enough. My own prayer is Abba made. My own prayer is China made. One German prayer. What a big shame, Africa. What a big shame, Nigeria. Our Christianity is still shrine-based. Still shrine-based. The woman that Jesus met by the well, she said, they told us that there's a particular mountain we must worship. Jesus Christ said, no. He said, you worship what you know not. You don't have to go to a particular mountain anymore. He said, now everybody can relate. Everybody can walk with God. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? Say, verily, I swear. So let me go ahead. How did we even reach this thing we're talking about? Eh? Hey, how did intercession reach this one? No, if you remember. Eh? I still don't know why did I say that? I don't remember. Okay. Let's just go ahead. So I said there are different kinds of prayer. I have to rush. Prayer of intercession, number one. Intercession means you are praying for somebody else. All right? It means you are praying for somebody else. You must, and the Bible says we must pray all prayer. And this somebody else, yes, it can include your immediate family, but it's not limited to that. That's still selfishness. We're talking about you praying for the church, praying for the body of Christ, praying for the coming elections, praying for Nigeria, praying for those in authority, praying for your pastors instead of gossiping about them. Intercession. Second one is the prayer of petition. This is one Africans love. This is the only one we know, where you beg God. for something. I have problem. Some people associate prayer with problem. So have you prayed? He said, I don't have problem yet. They associate prayer with problem. You only pray. It's a shrine you are worshiping. You have not yet started walking with God. Number three is prayer of agreement. You see that in Matthew 18. Say, if two of you shall agree as touching anything on the earth that they shall ask, it shall be done. The prayer of agreement, two people must agree on the topic. You can't agree without knowing. You can't just come and meet somebody and say, agree with me for something I'm praying for. He said, what is this? I can't tell you, but just agree with me. That's not yet agreement. You must know what we're agreeing for. This one works well with couples. You can work with anybody. You don't have to be married. But when you're married, it's an extra force. Because you guys are already one. But you can agree with your brothers, agree with your friends. Agree. This one has benefited me so much. Because I agree a lot with my wife on certain things. All right? Prayer of agreement. Then there's number what is the next one? Number four, prayer of consecration. Remember, the Bible says you must pray all manner. In the prayer of consecration, it is you yielding yourself. So in the prayer of consecration, you are saying, Lord, not my will, but your will be done. So in the prayer of consecration, you are making yourself vulnerable for God to lead you, for God to guide you, for God to have you. So if there's a guy interested in you or two guys interested in you, prayer of consecration tells you to say, oh, Lord, you know, I'm open to whatever you want to say about this issue. But you see, many other people, they'll just claim one of the brothers they like, the one that has car. It's because John and Louis are toasting her. Louis doesn't have car, John has car. Many Nigerian girls I know say, oh God, John, give me John. John. Prayer of consecration is, Lord, not my will. Jesus prayed that prayer. He said, if it be possible, let this cup do what? Pass over me. But he said, nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. So in the prayer of consecration, I say, Lord, do you want me to travel or not? Do you want me to stay in Nigeria or not? Do you want me to take that job or not? It's not every job offer you get you should take. But if you don't pray prayer of consecration, all you know is prayer of breakthrough. You can easily be trapped. You can easily enter trap. Because everything that looks like breakthrough to you, just take it. You marry anybody because they look rich. This is why you enter very terrible relationships. You are moved just by your eyes. You must pray prayer of consecration. Lord, what should I do? I'm available to you. I consecrate myself to your direction. Because people don't know Jesus is not only our Savior, he's also our Lord. He needs to run your life. If your life is not going well, he's not the one running it. You are the one running it. When he's the one running it, everybody will know. They will see the results. Number what is next one? Five is the prayer of decree. I'm going to talk about that next Sunday. The prayer of decree. In the prayer of decree, you're not talking to God, actually. You're talking to the situations. So we'll talk about that next week. Number six is the prayer of worship and thanksgiving. So in that kind of prayer, you're just giving thanks and worshiping. You're not asking for anything. You're not fighting anybody. Or your enemies are not there. Number seven, which is the one I want to talk about a bit today in this service, is the prayer of fellowship. The prayer of fellowship. And this is the most important, actually, of all the kinds of prayer. The prayer of fellowship. There's the prayer of friendship with God. That's what it means. The prayer of interacting with God. The prayer of fellowship. Fellowship is like the word koinonia. It just means hanging out with someone. If you have a real friend, sometimes you don't even have to have a purpose to go and visit them. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? There must be no purpose. Sometimes you're just, hey, man, I've not seen you in a while. Or sometimes you go there every day. You have a friend like that you just see them every day. It's your routine that once you come back from work, you stop by. There must be no agenda. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? That's the prayer of fellowship. It's the most important prayer. Many Nigerians know nothing about that. If they are not begging for something, they can't pray. This is why sometimes when some Nigerians relocate and government has answered all their prayer, there's now light, there's now road, there's now food, there's now money. You find that they have nothing to pray about because all their prayer life has been programmed to ask God and fight God and challenge God and command God. The prayer of fellowship. Do you know what God enjoys the most about you? Is fellowshipping with you. He said, the Father seeketh such to worship him. That word worship has to do with prayer and interaction and fellowship. He said, the Father seeketh such. Let's read that story. Okay, yes. You know, he said, we worship on this mountain. I want you to go back to that point if you can. where that woman was saying, you worship what you know not. They say, our fathers, look at it, worship in this mountain, and yet you say that Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. So many Christians are still at this point where I must be at this mountain. This is the only place God is answering prayer. What a joke. Next verse. It says, Jesus said unto him, woman, believe me, the hour cometh when you shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem do what? Worship. Do you see this? He's saying beyond a mountain, there's something God wants. Beyond you going to a mountain, that's where God is. No. See the next verse. It says, you worship ye know not what. We know what we worship for salvation of the Jews. Next verse. He said, now, but the hour cometh and now is when the true worshippers shall do what? The Father in what? And in truth. For what happens? The Father. God is actually looking for people that will fellowship with him. Unfortunately, what Nigerian Christians do. Imagine Ogbonna is God. Ogbonna, stand up. See what Nigerian Christians do and they call prayer. Ogbonna, Ogbonna, my life is due. Ogbonna, Ogbonna, my wife is due. Ogbonna, Ogbonna, my life is due. Ogbonna, Ogbonna, Ogbonna. Thank you. This is Nigerian prayer. This is. And we actually come every day. I'll come again. Ogbonna, 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 Ogbonna. This is what we call fellowship. I'm ashamed of my country, sir. You can sit down. We have been so battered. If you know how much God has... I will talk about that next Sunday. You are a king and a priest. Do you even understand what that means? Have you ever seen a king beg? It's over here with disgracing God. Begging for what? You can't convince God. See, you can't be better than God. My son has never begged me to eat. My physical son. And I'm not better than God. He has never made me that. Father, daddy, daddy, daddy. I buy him things. Without his thing. When I go somewhere and see something he will like, I just buy it. Without him knowing, without him asking. Then you are begging your heavenly Father. You are forcing him. Hey, pity me. Remember me. What a shame. How many fathers say, forget your children? Say, I have children. Oh, whoa, whoa, whoa. I forgot. What a shame. What are we doing? When are we going to understand this? How many years are we going to take to understand this? That's why when Jesus came, introduced prayer, he said, our Father. We don't understand what that means. His relationship. That's the most important part of prayer. Everything lies on that premise. Are you getting what I'm saying? Everything, other thing does what? Lies on that premise of relationship. Our what? Father. He didn't say my Father. That would have been a problem. If he said my Father, that means I'll still be an orphan. I'll have to beg him to beg his Father. He said what? Our Father. Say, you are now one of us. You have as much right as I do to this Father. Talk to him. Said our Father. See, Neka, if one boy just enter here and say, my school fees is due. You say... If Bosa, your son, enters here and says the same sentence, is your reaction going to be the same? What's the difference between the two requests? The relationship you have. That's your son! That's your son! That's your son! So it's not the request, it's the relationship. Anybody can make any request. If the person talking has a legal standing, if it's my son, his school fees is due, it's not... It's He doesn't have to say it more than once. He doesn't even have to say it at all. But if he's a stranger, he will say it well. And he's saying it doesn't mean I will respond. Because I have bills I'm sorting, I have projects I'm working on. It'll be your own at the thing today. But we are wired to approach God like somebody wicked, far from us. We are convincing him that you see that and he's got school fees. He said, our Father. The prayer of fellowship is the most important prayer for most Christians. But in Christianity, but most Christians don't get it. They say, we must go to a mountain. You have to grow. That prayer of fellowship is so vital because the real blessings of your life as a Christian is revealed in that prayer of fellowship. What are some of the benefits? Number one, you will know God's secrets. When you pray the prayer of fellowship, What do I mean by the prayer of fellowship? It's a prayer where you're not asking for anything. You are just hanging out. You are hanging out with the Father. And if you don't pray in tongues, this will be hard for you. Those of us that pray in tongues, we know that you can stay for 1 hour, 2 hours praying the Holy Spirit. No requests. The Holy Ghost is just, you know, making intercession by himself for you. In the prayer of fellowship, a lot of worship is inside it. You are just worshiping. You have no request. Just telling him how good he is. You are happy to share fellowship, to be with him. You are happy. Many Christians don't have the endurance. They can't even stay for 30 minutes without begging for something. They are so used to begging. They can't stay for 30 minutes praying without asking for something. All they have learned about prayer is problem. And I understand Africa is in big problem, so this is why we like these things. But the day God begins to bless you, you'll find that you have no prayer requests because you have no prayer life. In the flip, is a prayer where you just talk to God without request. And number one benefit is that you will know God's secrets in those prayers. Because when you spend time with people, that's when they can talk to you. They can tell you things. And let me tell you something, child of God. Let me tell you something. Let me try and convince you this morning. There are aspects of your life that you have not heard about or known about, that you will never know about if you don't do prayer of fellowship. Listen, you can't grow as a Christian without, you can't even succeed as a Christian without a prayer of fellowship. There's no two ways about it. There's no two ways about it. Anybody can pray all the other kinds of prayer. This prayer of fellowship is only for sons. It's only for people that love the Lord. The other ones, an unbeliever can pray those other ones because they cuckoo like to collect things from God. You see a prostitute win an award by sleeping around and see, thank God. Anybody can pray that prayer. But that prayer of fellowship is only people that have closeness with God that can pray it. Number one, you will know God's secrets. And there are things about your life you don't know. You are suffering. You think this country is hard. It's you that have not heard what God has for you. He said, I know the thoughts that I think towards you. Do you understand? God has thoughts towards you. I know you feel like an orphan. You feel lost. You feel confused. You feel distant. But I'm here to tell you this morning, God has thoughts towards you. Oh, I don't know if you're getting what I'm saying. This is some of my issue with Nigerian Christianity. Most people in church think it's only the pastor God has thoughts for. Say, that man of God. No. You too. God has thoughts for you. You are very important. See, no one is more important than the other in the scheme of things of God. You just, some people just take their walk with God more seriously. You too, God has a great plan. A very great plan, for you. It's just that you never spend time to know. Do you know why I'm standing here today? In 1996, I took 2 weeks out to fast. I was not asking for anything. I had no prayer request. I had no begging request. I just wanted to know God more. I took 2 weeks to fast. I was doing dry fasting one full day. The next day, I'll eat just light stuff to give me some energy. The third day again, I'll do a dry fast, 24 hours. No prayer. Not the simple are doing in these days. Oh, God, give me some. Rent. No. Nothing. Just fellowshipping with God. And while I was in that 2 week fast, that's when God said, you will start a youth fellowship. It will be called Davis Christian Center. Imagine if I never went on that fast. You know what will happen? God will be holding the plan, waiting for the day I will ask. And some of you, an instruction that will change your life is still pending, but you have never opened the mail. You are busy. You only send mail. You know it's possible for people to send you a message and you don't reply, but you have sent more. You know it's possible. That's what some of you are doing. You're always sending. You have never opened the one they sent you. See, the things that will change your life are not the things you tell God. They are the things God tells you. He already knows everything you want to tell him. This is what's wrong with the African prayer we are praying. He already knows everything you want to tell him. The thing you don't know is what he wants to tell you. He said, call unto me. He said, I will answer you and I will show you. But we stop at answer you. We don't wait for him to show us. So that's why we look stranded. We look dejected. Christians are supposed to be the most powerful people on the earth. We look very dejected and frustrated. If unbelievers hear the prayers we pray, they'll laugh at us because the situation you're shouting about, they can sign one check and sort it. But you shout about it and beg. You beg your wicked father to remember you and give you small change. Small change when you should be signing billions. But you're begging for small change to survive. It's the things God has to say that is more important than the things you have to say. Are you here, somebody? I just sit down sometimes and wonder, what if I never went on that fast? I'll probably not be here. I'll be in Lagos now just looking for a job. And now I'm getting old. I'll be afraid that they will soon retire me. I'll be hustling. I don't know what God too has for you. Your own might not be ministry, of course. It can be a business he wants to show you. It can be an industry he wants to take over. But there's something. He has a plan for you. Nick, don't you have a plan for Obosa? What class is he now? He's in year 4. Have you ever thought or talked about the secondary school you will go to? You've already thought about it. Why do Nigerians think God is wicked? You are better than the God of most Nigerians, though. You are better than the God of most Nigerians. Because you have already thought about Bosa's school. He's in primary 4, but you have thought about secondary school. Ah, you're better than the God of most Nigerians. If many Nigerians worship you, they will shout at you. But you are better than the God of many Nigerians. So you already have plans. We've even discussed possibility of where our children will do university. They never finish primary school. I'm better than most of the God Nigerians worship. Because their own God has no plans for them. They are convincing him, they have plan now, beat us now. They want time to tell him to be a good father. What a shame, Africa. One day we'll get it. When you understand this, when you approach him in prayer, you're praying from that place of your loving father. You're a good God. Father, I just love you. I just thank you. Mandero sotab. I'm here. I'm just fellowshipping with you. That's why God said, how can I do this thing without telling my friend Abraham? See how God thinks? Because him and Abraham, they fellowship a lot. He said, hey, God said, hey, there's one new, you know, when there's a new Jesus, who do you look for? Look for your closest friend. So, oh boy, hey, where you day? Oh boy, I want Jesus day. Is that not what happens? You think God doesn't have gist? God knows what's going to happen in the election. As much as COVID took many people by surprise, there are many people that knew. There are many people that prophesied it. They are not just popular. This thing now is not a popularity contest. Nigerians like the popular pastors. It doesn't work like that. Sometimes the real guys are not even popular. This popularity itself is a weight and a burden. Because the demand of your time is increased. Some of those guys that nobody knows, they don't even have time to pray. Are you here, somebody? Genesis 18:17. And the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham what? My friend and servant. What I'm what? Going to do. Say, will I hide it? So there's a secret God needs to tell you about your next level, your next phase. Give me my face over. Thank you. It's not a secret now, it's a public. I'm still waiting for the note you used to drive me from here. Because my time has passed. But I have to finish what I'm saying. Sheba, I should finish what I'm saying. Even if you don't agree, I'll finish. I'm the pastor. So there are secrets he wants to show you, man. There are things about your life. Every major breakthrough I've had, it has been God telling me something, not me telling him something. It's never me. What do you tell him? You have a problem. That's even somebody that is not God, your neighbor knows you have a problem. Your neighbor is not even God. He has seen your shoe. He knows when there's a problem. Then it's God you want to inform. You want to inform God of these new challenges. Keep quiet in the place of prayer and fellowship with him, Joe. Let him tell you something. And the way he talks, it takes a while sometimes for real information to come out. It's not the first day it comes out. Fellowship. When he knows you really are ready to listen. You don't meet your friend at the bus stop and have an intimate conversation. Two of you are rushing somewhere. You say, hey, let me tell you something very important. And they're calling my boss. No. That's not where we'll talk. We'll say, let's see later. But you must make time. I have to rush, guys. Second thing that happens in the place of prayer of fellowship. That's what I'm saying. As a Christian, you can't make progress without this thing. If you don't have it, you're not going to. I don't care what mountain you're going to. You can't progress spiritually. Second one, it changes you. The prayer of fellowship changes you. What happens in the prayer of fellowship is that your bad habits, your wrong mindsets are changed. You are where you are because of how you think. But when you do the prayer of fellowship, God begins to change how you think. God begins to change how you think. Some of you think there's no money in Nigeria. Prayer of fellowship. You need to interact with the richest being in the world. When it talks to you, you'll find out that there's wealth everywhere. It changes you. Luke 9, 28 and 29. Luke 9, 28 and 29. Quickly. Prayer changes you. You want to grow spiritually? You can't do it without personal prayer. Not prayer of begging for God, something or no. This fellowship, just staying with God. You can't do it. Thank God, just us girls have their 6 hours when women pray. If you're a lady attender, see how real prayer is. What are you telling God that he's not aware of? It's what he tells you that will change you. He has even answered you most times. He used to tell you how and where the answer is. When God told Abraham to kill Isaac, I said, I'm about to kill Isaac. Imagine if Abraham didn't used to hear God. He would have first killed Isaac. Then on his way home, he'd not see Ram. Say, hey. This is what we're all doing. The answer is already there. The ram is already there. But it takes you hearing. It takes relationship for him to tell you where the ram is. That's what they call God Jehovah Jireh. It was in that place they called him Jehovah Jireh. The God that provides. Even in the most unlikely places and the unlikely ways, he always provides. Your answer is, your husband is in this country. Some of you, he might not even be this country. But it's easy for God to connect you. But every time you come to God and you shout at him, oh God, I need a husband, I'm getting old, I'm getting old. You are reinforcing the weakness. You should come there and say, oh God, you are the perfect matchmaker. Reinforce his goodness. One of my daughters is getting married next month. I'm still working on going for that wedding. One of my correct daughters in America. Very correct daughter. If you know what I mean. If you don't know what I mean, forget about it. But my correct daughter, if you know what I mean. And she's somebody I believe in God for to get married. One worship minister from Nigeria came to her church in America. She videoed it in church, where everybody videos worship, and she posted it on her story, Insta story. She posted it there. The music minister saw it and reposted it. You know how we just repost things that they tag us on. Reposted it on her own page. The husband-to-be follows that music minister and saw the repost and said, who is this person that they reposted their video? And checked the person's page. They started talking from there. They are getting married next month. God is a perfect. There's no scarcity of hope. And the guy is born. They are both born again. They love the Lord. There's no scarcity of hope. You're not saying, no good man in Lagos. Because you're not having the prayer. Every time you have the prayer of fellowship, all negativity around you will leave. You're feeling hopeless in Nigeria. You've not prayed. When you pray, God will say, focus on me. Leave Nigeria. Focus on me. I've never told you Nigeria will give you peace. It says my peace, the peace of the Lord, not the peace of the country. Focus on me. You are terrified and afraid because you are focused on the news. Focus on me. I've decreed over my life that God will put me in a spiritual bubble. All the madness going on will not affect me. I'll keep my eyes straight, focus on God. Focus on this madness, you'll get discouraged, disoriented, disillusioned. Are you here, somebody? Let's see it. See, and it came to pass about an 8 days after these sayings, he took Peter and John and James and went up into the mountain to do what? To pray. Next verse. And as he prayed, were they begging for anything here? They had no requests, sir. Stop carrying prayer requests about. It's not heavy. As he prayed, and even if you have requests, drop it on the altar and go home. That's the prayer of petition is the prayer of faith. You pray and you go and rest. It's as he prayed, the fashion of his countenance was what? Altered. And his raiment was what? So he changed. His countenance changed. His face changed. And his clothes changed. That's what happens in the place of prayer. You change. You change. You can't miss failure first. Number three. Don't play keyboard. Wait, I'll finish what I'm saying. I'll finish in 2 minutes or so. Number three. The prayer of fellowship strengthens you. It strengthens you. You know, this life depletes you. It's like your phone battery. When you use your phone, open all the apps, do how many things, do video, do picture, your battery goes down. Am I correct? The only way to get it back up is to what? Plug it or charge it. This life depletes you every day. You must recharge. Don't make decisions when you're tired and frustrated. You'll make very bad decisions. Very, very bad decisions. Prayer strengthens you. Isaiah 40, 31. It said, those that wait upon the Lord, they shall what? renew their strength. That word wait upon the Lord is like the way a waiter waits on somebody. When a waiter is waiting for somebody, are they impatient? They wait calmly. However long it takes you to have order. They always have a good attitude. Say, yes, are you ready to make your order now? And you make order and you just want to change it. Say, okay, no. They'll be patient. Say, yes, how can I help you? That's what they mean. You're going to wait patiently. Those that wait upon the Lord, they shall what? Renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as what? Eagles. They will do what? They will run for office. They will run. And not be what? Weary. And they shall walk and not faint. When you wait on God, sometimes you need to just go on a fast for no reason other than just to know God better, to fellowship with God better. That's it. Most of Nigerians, all we know is to go on fast because we want to beg God for something. Something has already given you. You are going on the fast to hear him, where that thing is, and what the next step you should take is. Not for him to give you. He has already given you. There's nothing you want to ask him that he has not provided. Are you here, somebody? What do I need to do the prayer of fellowship? Number one, I need a quiet place. The Bible says, go into your closet. Matthew 5. Go into your closet when you want to pray. It mustn't be a physical closet. It just means find a quiet place. The church will announce when we'll have our own prayer of fellowship, where we'll just stay and fellowship with God. You'll learn real prayer, how to know God. Because a lot of things God wants to tell you. I can't know for you. Should you go to Ireland or should you go to Germany? I can't know. Should I marry John or should I marry James? I can't know. Should I go to UBA or BAA? I don't know. I can't know, but there's somebody that knows. Unfortunately, you don't know him. So go to a quiet place. Matthew 5 or 6:6. He said, but when thou prayest, enter into what? Thy closet. And when you do what? Shut the door. So find any quiet place or any quiet time. I had one of my associate pastors, his quiet place was the toilet. When he enters there, nobody's going to use that bathroom for the next 2 or 3 hours. Because he's not just using the bathroom. His fellow, you will hear him sing. He sings off key, incredible off key. But he never missed that prayer time. You hear him singing, fellowshipping. That's where God talks to you about your future. That's where God strengthens you for the journey ahead. If you're a depressed Christian, I put it to you, you have no prayer of fellowship going on. Because even if you're depressed, when you start the prayer of fellowship, strength, see, your strength is renewed. You can't come out of God's presence and still be depressed. Not possible. That's the honest truth. A depressed Christian is not really interacting with God. That's the truth. You're interacting with the world. You're interacting with the wrong information. That's what's depressing you. It's the information you are getting, the hopelessness. You're looking at yourself in the mirror, how old you are getting. You're looking at your age, how old you are going. You're looking at your bank account, how low it's going. You're looking at the country, how bad it's going. You're looking at the wrong things. It's as we behold him, we are being turned into the same image from glory to glory. What else do I need? You need worship songs. When you're going to pray of fellowship, you need worship songs. If you don't know songs, then use YouTube. Get some telling of the music guys. They should get you some basic song. Any song they sing in church that you like, tell somebody to write out the lyrics for you or Google it. All this is available online now. Play it on YouTube. You can sing along with it. Don't worry that it's YouTube. It doesn't disturb anything. It's your interaction with God that matters. So don't say me, I don't know any song. But you know all Biggie rap. You know Tupac. You know all those people. You know the whole lyrics of their rap song. You know that one. But you don't know any worship song. It will go from ololo to ololo. Play worship song. You need worship songs. Because that's why you do the prayer of fellowship. You have no prayer request. You're just worshiping, fellowshipping. God, you are just good. Sing all those songs you know. And you don't have to be a new song. It doesn't have to be a long song. You don't have to sing the whole verses of the song. It might be the chorus that you know. Sing that one. And fellowship. Stay there. Hours. Fellowshipping. Next thing you need is a notepad or at least your phone. If you know your phone won't distract you, it's fine. If your phone will distract you, leave your phone outside. Get a notepad because you're expecting God to speak to you to inspire you. Many of you don't even have an expectation that God will talk to you in prayer. I have to close now. I've taken more than time. Then the last thing you need is time. You need time. You can't go to prayer closet without time. You can't go and say, you're 5 minutes. I have 5 minutes to pray. No, that's not prayer. That's greeting. If you want to pray, you need to carve out time. You need to carve out time. It must be a time when you're not in a hurry. That prayer you do when you're going in the morning is just exercise. It's good, but that's not prayer of fellowship. In fellowship, I'm not in a hurry. I'm here to stay. When you have that attitude of I'm here to stay, God is excited because the Father seeketh such to worship him. Have you been blessed this morning? Come on, give the Lord a big hand. Thank you, Jesus.